Welcome to Narratives. The Wild Girl is based on the true story of the brothers Grimm and their relationship with a young woman called Dortchen Wild. Dortchen and Wilhelm Grimm are in love but have been prevented from marriage by her father.
Wild by name and wild by nature, Dortchen's father used to say of her, he did not mean it as a compliment. He thought her headstrong, and so he set himself to tame her. The day Dortchen Wild's father died, she went to the forest, winter bare and snow-frosted, so no one could see her dancing with joy. She went to the place where she had last been truly happy, the grove of old linden trees in the palace garden. Tearing off her black bonnet, she flung it into the tangled twigs, and she drew off her gloves, shoving them in her coat pocket. Holding out her bare hands, embracing the cold winter wind, Dortchen spun alone among the linden trees, her black skirt swaying. Snow lay thick upon the ground. The lake's edges were slurred with ice. The only colour was the red rose hips in the briar hedge and the golden windows of the palace. Violin music lilted into the air and shadows twirled past the glass panes. It was Christmas Day. All through Castle, people were dancing and feasting. Dortchen remembered the Christmas balls Jerome Bonaparte had held during his 7-year reign as king. 1,000 guests had waltzed till dawn, their faces hidden behind masks. Wilhelm I, the Kurfürst of Hessen, had won back his throne from the French only a little over a year ago. He would not celebrate Christmas so extravagantly. Soon the lights would be doused and the music would fade away, and he and his court would go sensibly to bed to save on the cost of lamp oil. Dortchen must dance while she could. She lifted her black skirts and twirled in the snow. "He's dead," she sang to herself. "I'm free." 3 ravens flew through the darkening forest, wings ebony black against the white snow. Their haunting call chilled her. She came to a standstill, surprised to find she was shaking with tears, as much as with cold. She caught hold of a thorny branch to steady herself. Snow showered over her. "I will never be free." Dortchen was so cold that she felt as if she were made of ice. Looking down, she realized she had cut herself on the rose thorns. Blood dripped into the snow. She sucked the cut, and the taste of her blood filled her mouth, metallic as biting a bullet. The sun was sinking away behind the palace, and the violin music came to an end. Dortchen did not want to go home, but it was not safe in the forest at night. She picked up her bonnet and began trudging home to the rambling old house above her father's apothecary shop, where his corpse lay in his bedroom, swollen, stinking, waiting for her to wash it and lay it out. The town was full of revellers. It was the first Christmas since Napoleon had been defeated and banished. Carol singers in long red gowns stood on street corners, singing harmonies. A chestnut seller was selling paper cones of hot chestnuts to the crowd clustered about his little fire, while potmen sold mugs of hot cider and mulled wine. All the young women were dressed in British red and Russian green and Prussian blue, trimmed with military frogging and golden braid. A vast change from the previous year, when all had worn the high-waisted white dress favoured by the Empress Josephine. Dortchen's severe black dress and bonnet made her look like a hooded crow amongst a vast flock of gaudy parrots. At last she came to the market gas, lit up with dancing light from a huge bonfire. Not one building matched another, crowded together, all higgledy-piggledy, around the cobblestone square with its drinking trough outside the inn. Only the apothecary's shop was dark and shuttered, no welcoming light above its door. Dortchen made her way through crowds buying sugar-roasted almonds, gingerbread hearts, wooden toys and small gilded angels. She slipped into the alley that ran down the side of the shop to its garden, locked away behind high walls. Dortchen! A low voice called to her from the shadowy door opposite the garden gate. She turned, hands clasped painfully tight together. A tall, lean figure in black stepped out from the doorway. The light from the square flickered over the strong, spare bones of his face, making hollows of his eyes and cheeks. "I've been waiting for you," Wilhelm said. "No one knew where you had gone." "I went to the forest," she answered. Wilhelm nodded. "I thought you would." He put his arms about her, drawing her close. For a moment, Dortchen resisted, but she was so cold and so tired. She could not withstand the comfort of his touch. She rested her cheek on his chest and heard the thunder of his heart. A ragged breath escaped her. "He's dead. I can hardly believe it." "I know. I heard the news. I'm sorry. I'm not." He did not answer. She knew she had grieved him. The death of Wilhelm's father had been the first great sorrow of his life. He and his brother Jacob had worked hard ever since to be all their father would have wanted. It was different for Dortchen, though. She had not loved her father. "You're free now," he said, his voice so low it could scarcely be heard over the laughter and singing of the crowd in the square. Dortchen had to look away. "It doesn't change anything. There's nothing left for me. Not a single Thaler." "Wouldn't your brother?" Dortchen made a restless movement at the mention of his name. "There's not much left for him either. All the wars. And then my father's illness. Well, Rudolf's close to ruin as it is." There was a long silence. In the space between them were all the words that Wilhelm could not say. "I am too poor to take a wife. I earn so little. I cannot ask Jacob to feed another mouth when he has to support all six of us." The failure of their fairy tale collection was a disappointment to him, Dortchen knew. Wilhelm had worked so hard, pinning all his hopes to it. If only it had been better received. If only it had sold more. "I'm so sorry." He bent his head and kissed her. Dortchen drew away and shook her head. "I can't." We mustn't." He gave a murmur deep in his throat and tried to kiss her again. She wrenched herself out of his arms. "Wilhelm, I can't. It hurts too much." He caught her and drew her back, and she did not have the strength to resist him. Once again, his mouth found hers, and she succumbed to the old magic. Desire quickened between them. Her arms were about his neck, their cold lips opening to each other. His hand slid down to find the curve of her waist, and she drew herself closer against him. His breath caught. He turned, pressed her against the stone wall, his hands trying to find the shape of her within her heavy morning gown. Dortchen let herself forget the dark years that gaped between them, pretending that she was once more just a girl, madly in love with the boy next door. The church bells rang out, marking the hour. She remembered that she was frozen to the bone and that her father's dead body lay on the far side of the wall. "It's no use," she whispered, pulling herself out of Wilhelm's arms. It felt like she was tearing away living flesh. "Please, please, Wilhelm, don't make it harder." He held her steady, bending his head so his forehead met hers. "Our time will come." She shook her head. "It's too late." "Don't say that. I cannot bear it, Dortchen. It'll never be too late. I love you. You know that I do. Someday, somehow, we will be together." She sighed and tried once more to draw away. He gripped her forearms and said in a low, intense voice, "I've been reading novelists. Do you remember? He said the most beautiful thing about love. It's given me new faith, Dortchen." So what did he say? She asked, wanting to believe, if only for a minute. Love works magic. It is the final purpose of the world story, the amen of the universe. She caught her breath in a sob and reached up to kiss him. For a long moment, the world stilled around them. Dortchen thought of nothing but the feel of his arms about her, his mouth on hers. But then the bonfire in the square flared up, sending the shadows racing away, and a great drunken cheer sounded out. Dortchen stepped back. I must go. Must you? He tried to hold her still so he could kiss her again. She turned her face away. Wilhelm, we can't do this anymore. I need to make some kind of life for myself. He took a deep, unhappy breath. Oh, what will you do? I'll keep house for Rudolph, I suppose, and help my sisters. There's always work for Auntie Dortchen. Her voice was bitter. At 21 years of age, she was an old maid, all her hopes of love and romance turned to ashes. There must be a way, if the fairy tales would just sell a few more copies. His voice died away. They both knew that he would need to sell many thousands more before they could ever dream of being together. One day, people will recognize how wonderful the stories are, she said. He took her hand and bent before her, pressing his mouth into her palm. She drew away from him, turning to the gate in the wall. She was shivering so hard she could scarcely lift the latch. She glanced back and saw him watching her, a tall shadow among shadows. Happy endings are only for fairy tales, Dortchen thought, stepping through to her father's walled garden. She raised her hand to dash away her tears. These days, there's no use in wishing.
You've been listening to Kate Forsyth reading from her book, The Wild Girl. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Campus Bay FM 99.9.